Hello, I'm your host, Aaron Rittmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight for Diz Dad's podcast number 512 for Sunday, June 25th, 2017 are Don Donfris.
Good evening, everybody.
Jason Gilbert.
Hello, all. We're taking another person's podcast virginity.
That's right. And we have panel show virgin from all the way across the pond at 3:30 in the morning, Paul Lawson.
Good morning, everybody.
So tonight, we've reached the savory 16 of the Diz Dads podcast quick service dining tournament. This is going to take us down to the sort of championship field for next week's live show. But before we get to that discussion, I do want to thank our podcast sponsor, Fantastic Memories Travel, and its Mouse Master Travel Group. The Mouse Master Travel Group focuses on Disney destination vacations, and Mouse Master agents would love to take care of the stressful parts of vacation planning so that you can focus on the fun. You can check them out at mousemastertravel.com. All right, gentlemen, we've been through preliminary rounds in all four regions. We've been through a second round in all four regions. It's time, as they say, to get to the nitty-gritty. This is where decisions ought to get kind of difficult because really here we should have a collection of 16 of some of the best quick service locations at Walt Disney World. It ought to start getting difficult to make up our minds. And unless somebody has anything that they want to get us, you know, preliminarily need to mention, I think we're just going to dive right in to the Beast region. Any objections?
Nope. Good to go.
All right.
Yep.
So,
all good here.
Jumping right in with the Beast region, we're going to start with our overall number one seed in this entire tournament, Be Our Guest Restaurant. And it's facing off against the four seed. So we've got Chalk here in the Beast region. The four seed, Casey's Corner, fellow Magic Kingdom denizen. And Jay, why don't you go ahead and get us rolling here? What do you think? Be Our Guest or Casey's Corner and why?
I'm going to go with Casey's Corner based on the fact of the location and the classics. We, as a family, enjoy not having a sit-down meal our night in the Magic Kingdom, going grabbing some Casey's, sitting watching the fireworks, watching the parade from right there. So it's kind of a tradition for us, and that's why I picked it, because I'm a fan of the classics, and if people recall way, way back in my first experience with Be Our Guest, we had a very rude counter service person. And that turned me off from the whole place.
Okay. So we've got a vote right up front for the underdog here in Casey's Corner. Don, what do you think? Is Jay right? Is it hot dogs over the Be Our Guest atmosphere?
Boy. I'm going to go with Jay.
Really?
Interesting. I love Be Our Guest. But boy, oh boy, like Jay said, I mean, there's nothing better on a toward the end of the night, your Magic Kingdom day, and you settle in to watch the parade and the fireworks, and you go grab some Casey's and grab some popcorn, and you got a good night.
Great minds think alike.
All right. So, Paul, the Americans say it's the American hot dog, Casey's Corner, that ought to advance. What do you think? Are they right? Or are you going to give me a chance to make a tie here? Is there an argument to be made for Be Our Guest Restaurant?
Completely. I appreciate what you guys are saying about Casey's Corner. You know,
he's just mad that they don't have bangers.
Oh, they all have bangers. They all have bangers. It's great. However, just for the pure atmosphere of everything about Be Our Guest, And the food is great. I've never had anything bad from there, though I have had, you know, a couple of bad dogs from Casey's Corner. So for me, I would 100% be going with Be Our Guest on this one.
All right, so we've had two votes for Casey's Corner. We've had one vote from Paul for Be Our Guest. And looks like we're going to get things started off with a tie, because I am going to exercise my host's privilege and cast a vote for Be Our Guest to make a tie here. Now, I'll be honest and say, you know, I wouldn't have necessarily automatically made a tie, you know, regardless of who Be Our Guest was facing. I'm not a huge, you know, cheerleader for Be Our Guest. I do think there are some flaws, not the least of which is that it's only available as a quick service for breakfast and lunch. But that said, I think, first of all, you know, Paul makes good points about the diversity of the menu, which I really do appreciate, as opposed to Casey's, which is all hot dog all the time. There's also something to be said for atmosphere. I think Casey's really lost something when they got rid of the grandstands. And, you know, they didn't really replace it with that much seating. So you have very limited seating indoors, a bit more outdoors, kind of in the sidewalk. It's hard to feel like, you know, you're really in the restaurant as opposed to in the traffic. I don't know. It just kind of feels incomplete almost there at Casey's. So with those considerations in mind, I'm going to cast a vote for Be Our Guest and make a tie, which we will ask our listeners to try and answer before next Sunday's live podcast, when we move on to the contentious championship round. Well, the other half of the Beast Region has sort of another new school versus old school battle. On the old school front, we have Disney Springs, sort of perennial favorite in Wolfgang Puck Express, facing off against the new kid on the block in Disney Springs, Deluxe Burger. So, I do want to clarify, because I think this came up over the last couple of weeks. We've had a couple of issues where we needed some additional information. So here's the deal with Wolfgang Puck Express. Some of you may remember that there was some discussion about menu items at Wolfgang Puck Express and some changes that have happened with a favorite dish from Wolfgang Puck Express, the bacon-wrapped meatloaf. So it appears that the two separate Wolfgang Puck Express locations no longer have identical menus. They're still similar, but the West Side menu is actually far superior to the menu over next to the cafe, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a secondary Wolfgang Puck Express location that's like attached to Wolfgang Puck Cafe, which is the signature dining restaurant there that Wolfgang Puck does in Disney Springs. And its menu is more limited. And what they've done is convert the bacon wrap meatloaf into a bacon wrap meatloaf sandwich, which I found in my last trip to be sort of not anywhere near the same level as what I was used to from the West Side. Is it West Side or Marketplace? I always get those names confused. Wolfgang Puck Express.
Marketplace.
Okay. So yeah, the Marketplace Wolfgang Puck Express, which had the full, you know, bacon wrap meatloaf entree, and it's still on the menu, but only at the Marketplace location. Although there have been, you know, some people did speak up and say, you know, the portion has gotten noticeably smaller. All that said, just a little bit of background, because that's Wolfgang Puck Express facing off against newcomer Deluxe Burgers, which had a tight battle to get here in a matchup, you know, at one point tied with this whole Landscape of Flavors, Cooks of Dublin mess over there. But Deluxe Burgers came through with a very strong showing in the public vote. So, Don, what do you think? Who advances?
To me, I'm going to go with deluxe burgers. I like the variety of I love burgers, and I like the variety that they have. Their menu's pretty interesting takes, and plus their beverage choices are superior.
Okay. Now, Paul, you've had Don make the case for deluxe burger, calling out in particular the adult milkshakes that he thought were rather intriguing. Is that enough, or is the old standby Wolfgang Puck Express the right choice?
I'm going to agree with the deluxe burger. I've got to be honest with you, and I feel a bit of a cheat on this one. I've not been to deluxe burger. However, I have been to Wolfgang Puck's and wasn't particularly impressed. I've got to be truthful with you with that one. And seeing the menu for deluxe burger, seeing the drinks, as you said before as well, and who doesn't like a nice burger? And they do look like nice burgers. So, for me, deluxe burger on that one.
Okay, Jay, so we're in a similar place where we were in the last matchup. We have the underdog? No, I guess Wolfgang Puck Express was the underdog. All right, I'm just expressing, you're dealing with my personal favorite, I guess, coming in. So Deluxe Burger is the favorite. It's got two votes. Jay, is that enough? Are they right?
I got some bad news for you, Aaron. You don't get to vote this time. I'm not going to I'm not going to put down Wolfgang Puck's, but looking at the menu for Deluxe Burger, I agree that the menu looks incredible, and we'll just have to trust what we can see, and I'll have to try it in January. That's all I can say.
All right. Well, you know, Deluxe Burger advances. It holds seed, and we get the number two seed advancing to that Elite Eight round. I thought coming into this tournament that Wolfgang Puck Express to me was a real favorite. I got to admit that my last experience there was kind of disappointing. And I think overall, Wolfgang Puck Express is going to have to pick its game back up just in general in order to compete with a much improved lineup of quick service options in Disney Springs overall, let alone in our tournament.
I think when they opened the full restaurant, it took a lot away from the Express. I noticed that on our trip last October when Leslie and I were there, when, you know, the full restaurant started to open, that's when the Express kind of backed off and made me wonder if it's actually going to continue to be there.
Well, it'll be interesting because I know that they've actually already announced that the cafe will be closing and is going to be replaced with something else, although they haven't said with what just yet.
Yeah.
So, all right, so we're going to move on down to the Nobleman's region. And the first matchup in the Nobleman's region is, holding seed. We've got a chalk matchup here, two seed versus three seed. It's a resort restaurant matching up against a theme park restaurant. Number two seed, Captain Cook's, against number three seed, Backlot Express. So, Paul, why don't you get us rolling on this one? Is it Captain Cook's from the Polynesian or Backlot Express in Hollywood Studios that ought to advance?
For me, on this one, it's definitely Captain Cook's. Don't get me wrong. We've all had, that burger, etc. At the Backlot Express. Everything. I've never had a bad meal from there. However, just the variety at the Captain Cook's, and also location. It loses by not being in the park, but however, to come out into the poly and in your surroundings with that is just, it for me, definitely edges it. So for me, I'm going for Captain Cook's.
All right, so we've got a vote for Captain Cook from Paul. Jay, is he right?
Absolutely. Captain Cook's takes it for me.
Okay. So two quick votes for Captain Cooks. Don, is there an argument to be made for Backlot Express?
Not tonight.
I thought Backlot was seated way too high, to be honest.
Well, we talked about that, and I had the same issue with them. Backlot Express had a very interesting draw. They got here with a matchup against Pizza Rizzo, which, I think we all are, barely made it into the tournament, basically. I think they got a gift when Liberty Inn won the tiebreaker against Katsura Grill. I think Katsura would have given them a better run. But, it doesn't surprise me, really, that this was the first, the first three seed to drop out of the tournament. I guess it's the second now because Wolfgang Puck Express was a three.
Right.
So, all right. So Backlot goes down to Captain Cooks pretty convincingly there. Not much to be said for Backlot Express in that matchup with Captain Cooks. And we've got one more Nobleman's Region matchup here. And another moment where I need to issue a bit of a correction because we've mentioned a couple of times previously on the show as it's come up, Hurricane Hannah's, which was a surprise, I think, four seed in my view. But Terry Hawkins selected Hurricane Hannah's as a four seed. And I got an email from a listener, and I'm trying to pull up the email right now as we talk because I did promise him that I would clarify for him.
So we actually have listeners?
We actually do. Somebody actually listens to the show besides me.
That's good to know.
Yeah. Kind of exciting. Now I have to find his email. Hang on. An email from a listener who didn't sign the email, but the email address, dbiscuit@hotmail.com, sent us an email to let us know that we were incorrect when we said that in order to access Hurricane Hannah's, you needed to be a guest at Yacht Club or Beach Club because the restaurant is at the Stormalong Bay Pool. He explained that Hurricane Hannah's actually sits just outside the pool fence along the walkway around Crescent Lake. So you can actually get to the bar and the restaurant without being a hotel guest. You don't have to go through the hotel and then out to Stormalong Bay. You can actually go alongside Stormalong Bay and still access Hurricane Hannah's. So I do want to make sure that we correct that. Now, I don't think that access was, the controlled access was the only reason that Hurricane Hannah's lost out to Harambe Market in the last round. I think that the other issue was access more generally. In other words, it was a resort restaurant facing off against a well-themed theme park restaurant, and that was the bigger issue. But thank you for pointing that out, dbiscuit@hotmail.com. And I did want to make sure that we corrected the record because, Terry spoke very highly of the food at Hurricane Hannah's. So if you wanted to check that out yourself and you're not staying at Yacht or Beach Club, you can still do that. So that said, they're not in this matchup. instead, we have the upset from the number five Harambe Market, which advanced over the number four Hurricane Hannah's. And it faces in this Savory 16 matchup the top seed in the Nobleman's Region, which is Disney Springs, Earl of Sandwich.
Wow, you almost said the bad word.
I know. I almost said it the wrong way. So, Jay, is it the Earl, the old standby still, or Harambe Market from Disney's Animal Kingdom?
I have to go with the Earl of Sandwich just because we eat there every trip.
Okay.
My kids enjoy that meal. We hit it every trip. So I'm going with Earl of Sandwich.
All right. So we've got a vote for Earl of Sandwich from Jay. Paul, what do you think? Is it Earl of Sandwich or Harambe Market?
I'm going Earl of Sandwich as well. Again, tradition-wise, it's the last thing that we buy on Disney before we head to the airport. So we'll go in, get a sandwich, obviously, from there, and then eat it once we get to the airport. And it's just a tradition. And Harambe Market, great, just not got some really nice stuff in there, but the actual amount that they have, the difference, I just don't think it compares at all. So yeah, I'm going for Earl sandwich also.
All right, so Don, we've had two votes so far for Earl sandwich. Is it a clean sweep?
Yes, it is. A lot of stuff for me just doesn't, and I usually like the variety. I just not crazy about the food over there. So, and Earl's sandwich, I mean, say what you will, but it's always consistent. It's always pretty darn good. And it's also one of our traditions too, that at some point on the trip, we're at least there at least once. So, Earl sandwich.
All right, Aaron. So, oh yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Can we pull out the Q word for Earl sandwich?
You can try. You can make the argument. I mean, I think that there are restaurants that we've talked about previously that probably fit it better. You know, fit the Q word better. Yeah. But you can make the argument for it if you think.
No, we'll save it in case we need it later.
Yeah, you know, this is your call. It's up to the panel. I think you all have heard my skepticism about Earl of Sandwich. It's not that I dislike it. It's just that I find it to be overwhelmingly average. I guess consistency carries the day, and we get chalk in the Nobleman's region with the 1 and 2 seeds advancing to the championship rounds. So we will move on over to the Seafarers region, where we had a couple of matchups affected by ties in the last round. And luckily, our listeners got on board and helped us get those resolved in a timely fashion. So the first one of those matchups we have, we're going to start with the top seed in the Seafarers region, Columbia Harbor House. And it's facing off against the winner of a tiebreaker that involved Sleepy Hollow Refreshment and Summerfest in Germany. That tiebreaker came out pretty solidly in favor of Sleepy Hollow Refreshment over Summerfest. So Sleepy Hollow will be the competition for its Liberty Square compatriot, Columbia Harbor House, just kind of across the way on the Liberty Square Fantasyland border. So, Paul, what do you think? Who wins this Liberty Square face-off?
Now, for me, this one's quite a hard one because I think these two are the closest for me that we're doing tonight. So, I'm going to go with Columbia House. Okay. Columbia Harbor House, sorry. Yeah, I just think the location, you know, we've had many a going from mountain to mountain, and hi, let's go here for something to eat. And I can never say I've had anything bad from here. Always consistent, always enjoyed it. So, yeah, that will get my vote this time, Columbia Harbor House.
All right. So we've got a vote first for Columbia Harbor House. Don, is he right?
Yes. It just, to me, it just, I enjoy that. I like the view there. Sometimes watching it's Small World.
Right.
So that's my vote.
All right. So we've got two votes for Columbia Harbor House. Jay, you going to help me save the chicken waffle sandwich? Or is it the end of the line for Sleepy Hollow?
You are gosh darn right. I'm going to help you save it. For that reason only, for the chicken and waffle sandwich, I'm going with Sleepy Hollow.
All right. Well, y'all have heard me now for at least 2.5 years, right? I mean, that's about how long that spicy chicken waffle sandwich has been on the menu at Sleepy Hollow Refreshments. I've extolled the virtues of the chicken waffle sandwich. And as Jay says, for that reason alone, even if it weren't for the other delightful treats available from Sleepy Hollow Refreshments. And as much as I love that upstairs seating area at Columbia Harbor House, as much as I appreciate the, you know, kind of somewhat different menu items that are available there with the you know, lobster roll and the salmon and some things that you might not otherwise find on a quick service dining menu, I can't look away. It's a chicken, spicy chicken waffle sandwich all the way. I've tried the other alternatives for chicken waffle sandwiches in theme parks, both at Disney and at Universal. They don't match up. Sleepy Hollow Refreshments, I'm forcing a tie.
Aaron, I take my spicy chicken waffle sandwich into Columbia Harbor House when Leslie and the kids go to eat.
Me too. Oh, I do too. It's exactly what we do. I send them ahead and I go to Sleepy Hollow.
You crazy Americans and your matchups of sweet and savory. Every time you get me with that one, every time.
It's sweet and savory with a crunch, even better.
Oh, there we go. That's okay. That sorts it all out.
Paul, wait till you try chocolate covered bacon. There's a baseball stadium near us that sells it.
You get that everywhere. That's good stuff.
Yeah, but it's better at a baseball game.
Well, that's true.
Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to leave that one with you guys. I've got to be honest with you. I'm going to leave that one where you are.
All right.
I'll bring you your first piece when you get to Florida. I'm bringing your first piece of chocolate covered bacon.
Deal.
All right. Well, we do have another matchup here in the Seafarers region that also could get interesting. We still had another tie here in the Seafarers region to resolve. We had a tie between Yak and Yeti Local Foods and Pecosville Tall Tale Cafe. Listeners spoke loud and proud here with Pecosville getting nearly 75% of the vote in the tiebreaker vote. So a clear win for Pecosville, which advances to take on the 2-seed Restaurantosaurus. So 3-seed Pecosville, 2-seed Restaurantosaurus. Don, who's the favorite?
I'm going to go with Pecosville. And one of the reasons is I want to see it, because I want to get there and I want to do the secret menu item taco dip thing that looks awesome.
Right. Are we talking the Rio Grande nachos?
Yes.
Yeah. The $100 plus supersized nachos.
Yes.
Just an FYI, yes. Adam, Dale, and I already decided we're hitting that. We are doing that in January. Don't care how many other dads help us. We're getting it.
All right. So we've got a vote for Pecosville and nachos the size of your house.
Might as well just make it 2 right off the bat.
All right. No love at all for Restaurantosaurus there from Jay. How about you, Paul? Any love for Restaurantosaurus, or is this a clean sweep for Pecosville?
I'm afraid not. If you'd been talking Pecosville a couple of years ago, and 100% I would have gone for it. But the new menu that they have there just, for some reason, just doesn't appeal to me. So 100% I am going to go Restaurantosaurus. As well, also, again, with us, it's a tradition, Animal Kingdom. We go there, we have his burger, and enjoy it. You know, it is plain fare, really, compared to other places, but we always enjoy it. It's again a tradition. So even though I know I'm going to get outvoted on this one, 100%, I believe, there we go. That's me.
Well, you know, I could make a tie here and force the listeners to make the call on Restaurantosaurus, but I won't.
Somehow I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah. You know, I did consider it. And what it comes down to for me is if we were just talking about the kids menu, then I'd be happy to make that tie, because I think Restaurantosaurus does it right when it comes to kids. The kids' meal served in the bucket is still a great idea, and I'm glad they've continued to offer it. The problem is that just not anything similar, you know, appealing to adults or to the adult menu. They don't really have any kind of signature thing other than, you know, drink refills. And so I have a hard time. I mean, the theming of it is very nice. I do like the, you know, the conceit of the sort of abandoned, explorers or, what's the word, paleontologists, you know, mobile home basically, which is what it's supposed to be. And they do a nice job with the theming, but the menu at Pecos Bill is just a much better menu. And, I can't look away from that. So Pecos Bill survived that tough battle against Yak and Yeti and then relatively skates into the final eight here with the big win over Restaurantosaurus. All right, so we've got two matchups left to go, the Pitmaster region being our last series of matchups. And let's start at the top of the bracket there. We have... You know, we've had more upsets, I think, and more, well, we have more lower seeds still alive in Pitmaster region than any other region. We have number one seed Flame Tree Barbecue here facing off against Cantina de San Angel. Now, it's an Epcot restaurant against Animal Kingdom restaurant. Paul, who wins?
Again, I feel I may be on my own on this one, but I am going with Flame Tree Barbecue. Who doesn't like barbecue? And I think they do it very well. Always had great food from there, and it's definitely something that'll give you sort of a nice feeling. So, a middle of the day, starting to flag a bit of barbecue, nothing can beat it. So, yeah, for me. Flame Tree Barbecue, all the way.
All right. So a clear win for Paul in Flame Tree Barbecue. Don, does he have it right?
No. Cantina del San Angel.
So make the case for the Cantina.
One location, right on the lake. You get there right before Illuminations, catch a seat. Get some good meal, have a margarita or a cerveza, and it's a nice evening. Nice cap to the evening. I've enjoyed the food there many times, and it's become one of our favorites to stop at. So definitely Cantina for me.
Okay. So, Jay, you've heard the impassioned case for Cantina de San Angel. Flame Tree Barbecue gets a similar impassioned argument from Paul as a favorite. Who's right?
I don't know. It's I'm tossed between the barbecue and the churros. It's like, I don't know what... This is the first one that I've had that's like I'm on the fence about. I think I'm going to have to go with Flame Tree.
Okay. So we have an almost reluctant vote for Flame Tree. Now, why? What pushed you over the edge to Flame Tree over Cantina de San Angel?
If this was a year ago, I probably would have not picked Flame Tree. But when they opened up the stage... right across from Flame Tree now, where they have the musicians.
Right,
That puts it over the top.
Okay.
Or that balances it out. I mean, yes, it's not Illuminations, but there was nothing there before, and that kind of gave it that little edge, having something there to watch while you're eating. And the musician that was there this past trip when we were there was phenomenal. He was playing a harp, like an electric harp. And the best part about it was, afterwards, he taught Kaylee and Corey how to play it.
Oh, cool.
With no questions asked. Like, they were over, they were looking at it, and he's like, here, try it. And he just started teaching them how to play it. And I'm like, that's something that's needed. So, that's what puts it over for me.
Okay. Well, you know, it's an interesting argument, and it puts me in an interesting position, because I can make a tie here. You know, the draw is an interesting thing, because I feel like Flame Tree's biggest weakness is the lack of indoor seating. But Cantina de San Angel doesn't really answer that weakness. It has the same weakness. So I'm really conflicted here.
We all know you're a tequila fan.
Well, and I am a tequila fan, very much so.
Barbecue, Adam, barbecue.
Well, here's the thing, Paul. When it comes to barbecue, I'm sorry. I mean, maybe Polite Pig will change the story for me eventually, but I come from where good barbecue comes from. You know, I mean, I'm not going to Walt Disney World to get barbecue. I get great barbecue down the street in half a dozen places. So from that perspective, actually, I think Flame Tree kind of loses a little bit. I mean, I know that people enjoy it, and it's probably some of the better barbecue at Walt Disney World, at least, you know, pre-Polite Pig, which is really too new to be considered. But, you know, it's not going to draw me to Flame Tree because I'm going to get better barbecue here. It's so but close.
We don't all live where you do, though, Aaron. Come on. You know you want to do it.
No, I'm going to make a tie.
Tangerine.
I am making a tie this time. I'm going to have to throw this to the listeners because, like I said, if I'm making the call just based on the quality of the food, it's really difficult for me to fairly evaluate Flame Tree's food quality because, like I said, it's decent, but compared to what I get around here,
I agree.
It's decent.
We've got great barbecue too in this area, and you know, it's good. You know,
but it's not great. The view of Illuminations, the tequila nearby, I'm swayed by that argument at least enough to say it deserves a vote and deserves to be thrown to the listeners.
Yes.
All right, so we do have one last matchup to consider, and I kind of saved this one for last on purpose because it's got our lowest seed that is still alive in the tournament, and that's the 11 seed, probably woefully underseeded, but the 11 seed Sasagula Floatworks, which is facing off against a pretty tough competitor here, the number 2 seed, also from Epcot, Tangerine Cafe in Morocco. So, Jay, what do you think? Is it Sasagula Floatworks over at Port Orleans or Tangerine Cafe from Morocco?
Well, I've been to Epcot quite a few times, and I've never eaten at the Tangerine Cafe because it's never appealed to me. We are staying at Port Orleans in January, and I cannot wait to get the Sasagula Floatworks. So I'm going to go with Sasagula.
All right.
Because it's tough because I haven't had either one of them, but based on what I've seen at Tangerine Cafe and what I have seen is in my future at Sasagula, I'm going with the Floatworks.
All right. Well, now we have a flavor untasted vote for Sasagula Floatworks. Paul, is he right?
Do you know? Yes. I'm going with the Sasagula as well. I just think it's just good fun. You know, the food, what you get from there is great. And again, I've walked past Tangerine Cafe many times, but it's never drawn me in. So yeah, 100%, I'm going also with the Sasagula Floatworks.
Okay, so two votes for Sasagula Floatworks. Don, is this going to be an upset special for Sasagula? You have to unmute yourself to vote.
It was going to happen once. It happens every show. yeah, it's a clean sweep for me. French Quarter is one of our favorite places to stay. And we always enjoy that. And one word, beignets. So, Sasagula it is.
All right. Well, you know, this was going to be a tough one for me. I was, you know, dreading the possibility that I was going to be in a position to make or break a tie here because I love both of these locations. I mean, Tangerine Cafe is probably my favorite quick service restaurant in all of Walt Disney World. I love Tangerine Cafe, but the beignets at Sasagula Floatworks are one of my favorite quick service items anywhere. I mean, when my kids, when we talk about going to Walt Disney World, they refer to breakfast at French Quarter by saying that, you know, I ask them, you want to have breakfast in the park so we can get moving? You want to grab breakfast before we go, get up a little extra early? And their response is beignets.
Yeah.
You know, they turn it into a cheer. and I think that, you know, I've got a son that might attack me. He's been listening to the shows as we go, and he would be very, very displeased with me if I voted against beignets. So luckily, y'all have saved me from needing to do that. It's a clean sweep for the 11-seed Sasagula Floatworks. So we have a long shot in the Sweet 16, we have a long shot in the Savory 16, and we have the field set now for our championship rounds. So just to review quickly where we are, and then I'll get some final comments as we wrap up. We have out of the Beast region a tie that we're going to need some help from the listeners on to resolve between number 1 seed Be Our Guest and number 4 seed, the Q-word heavy Casey's Corner. They're tied in the Beast region. The lower half of the Beast region, Deluxe Burger, had a surprisingly easy battle against Wolfgang Puck Express. I think in general, we had overall noticed a decline in quality at Wolfgang Puck Express, and the newcomer Deluxe seems to have kind of stepped into a void there. In the Nobleman's region, Captain Cook's, a strong win over Backlot Express. I think that was a walkover. No votes for Backlot. And then Earl of Sandwich, a similarly strong performance for the 1 seed against the well-themed Harambe Market, but the familiar flavors of Earl of Sandwich prevailed. Over in the Seafarers region, we have another tie again in the Seafarers region. Columbia Harbor House, the 1 seed against the 5 seed Sleepy Hollow Refreshment. I had to make that tie in honor of my beloved spicy chicken waffle sandwich. We'll see what the listeners have to say. In the other half of the Seafarers region bracket, we got a big win for Pecos Bill. They had a tie last round against Yak and Yeti. No such possibility against Restaurantosaurus. Strong finish there for Pecos Bill. Then in the Pitmasters region, we have a tie between Flame Tree Barbecue and Cantina de San Angel. So listeners will need your help. And in the bottom half of the Pitmasters region, a surprise win, surprisingly easy too, for Sasagula Floatworks, the 11 seed, making it all the way to the Savory 16. So as we're wrapping up here, gentlemen, anybody have any closing thoughts, any surprises, things that you didn't expect, things that stood out to you about where we are in this tournament at this point?
Go ahead, Paul. After you.
Well, all I was going to say is I've just got one confession. I've never had a beignet. So there we go. I'm just going to put that out there, and I will rectify it next time we go.
Needs to be done. Don, you had something else you wanted to add?
I think, for me, it played out pretty much the way I would have looked at it. But it's going to be a tough next round, though, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting here in this championship rounds, also being live, working our way through these. And we will need listener help during the live show. So please, if you can, tune in live at 7 o'clock Central Time live show on Sunday, July 2nd. It's a holiday weekend. So hopefully you can get away for a little while and hang out with us, because we will need help if we get ties. We're going to do two championship rounds, one right after the other during the live show. Any parting thoughts, Jay?
I was surprised when I got the list today about how many – well, not how many, but I thought some of the 2 seeds would have went down earlier. I definitely didn't think Tangerine Cafe was going to make it, and I thought for sure Restaurantosaurus would have been gone months ago. I don't know why. I just,
yeah,
I was surprised.
You know, I think it was interesting to me too. And there were a number of restaurants that I felt like advanced just because the draw worked the way it did. It's very interesting. I mean, this is the least manipulated bracket we've ever done, because there was no discretion at all, ultimately, on my part when we set up the field. I mean, the past tournaments, somebody has volunteered to kind of organize the brackets. And there's been some amount of personal discretion involved in how things were arranged. You know, this one, we did that draft, and the S curve that we created is purely based on draft order. So, you know, matchups were wholly dependent on where restaurants went in this draft. And I really do feel like there were restaurants that advanced in some cases solely because of matchup. You know, had they been facing almost any other competitor in their pod, in their part of the bracket, you know, they might not have made it. So it is kind of interesting to me how those matchups kind of played out.
Yeah, definitely.
I agree.
All right. Well, you know, you've been hearing our opinions. We'd love to hear yours. We want to know what we got right, what we got wrong, what you think about this tournament overall. And we definitely need your help breaking these ties. In any case, we'd love to hear about what your thoughts are on the show overall. You can email us at podcast@dizdads.com, visit our blog, dizdads.com, tweet us at dizdadspodcast on Twitter, and visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/dizdadspodcast. And if you've got a minute, we would really appreciate a review on whatever service you use to listen to the show, whether it's iTunes or Stitcher Radio or Google Play. If you can take a couple of minutes and give the show a review, it really is helpful. It helps the show bump up a little higher in the search results when people search for a Disney podcast, and makes it easier for them to find our content. And I'm going to start remembering to do the proper copyright announcement. I always forget to do this. Our outro music was composed by a guy named Kevin McLeod, who makes this song, Whiskey on the Mississippi, available as a royalty-free tune. But the proper attribution of that tune includes mentioning it on the show when we use it on a podcast. So thanks to Kevin McLeod of incomptech.com for the use of Whiskey on the Mississippi. Until next time, I've been Aaron Rittmaster with Don Donfris.
Good night, all.
Jay Gilbert.
See you next time.
And a bleary-eyed Paul Lawson.
Good morning, everybody.